This being Thursday, we read now from some recent email that we've received. Some of it was about our report by David Mulpis and Cheryl Corley on the University of Mississippi, 40 years after desegregation.
John Starr in Rumford, Maine, writes, I was very interested in the reports of progress being made in race relations by the fraternities at Ole Miss. The casual reference to the existence of black and white fraternities in that report demonstrates just how much progress still needs to be made.
But J. Christian Wisbrock from Chicago says, I really don't appreciate, nor do many of my fraternity brothers, the use of the words white fraternities in your piece about Ole Miss. The fact of the matter is, most of the fraternities you designate as white in your piece, in fact, have an international membership in which 17% to 30% are African American or of other racial backgrounds.
Paul Chralnick of Leeds, Massachusetts, calls our report a love letter to a corrupt institution. He writes, no one asked the university president, who patted himself on the back for achieving 13% black enrollment, what percentage of Mississippians are black or what the percentage would be at Ole Miss if, as Mr. Chralnick writes, the black entertainment on campus, football, team basketball, track and field, etc., weren't counted in the total.
William Kohler from Totowa, New Jersey, offers a correction to one detail of Chris Sackas' story about skips in long-playing records. Mr. Kohler writes this. Chris said that the song Let the Good Times Roll, the actual song title is Come On Part One, with the parenthetical title Let the Good Times Roll, appeared on Jimi Hendrix's Axis Bold as Love LP. A DJ worth his salt would know that it appeared on Electric Ladyland. Were the editors asleep?
Alas, this fact was not compiled by the late Joseph Nathan Kane, author of Famous First Facts, whose passing was noted here. Mary Sealhurst of Ypsilanti, Michigan writes, I have used this book often over the last several years when writing Popular Mechanics' last page, a column called Think It's New? Think Again. As I listened to your researchers read excerpts from the work, I pulled my volume off the shelf, opened the cover, and wrote, Joseph Nathan Kane died on Sunday, September the 22nd, 2002. It just seemed natural. One last fact for a fact-filled book.
Our email address, in fact, is atc@npr.org. And when you write us, please don't forget to tell us where you are and how you say your name.